the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. A Woodstock family is trying to put their life back together and say they've lost faith in the justice system after their teenage son was accused of child porn offenses. After a two-year battle and thousands of dollars in court and defense costs, his name was finally cleared. Charges were dropped. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press reporter Brian Williams about this case. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm good. Good. I know that you've spent, you know, hours and hours, weeks, probably months on this case and researching this story. Let's start at the very beginning, the day that police raided Christian Spina's home in Woodstock. Christian was 18 at the time, and this happened January 19th, 2022. So about almost 3 years ago. What happened that day when police knocked at the door of the Spina's home?
Well, at the time, they had no idea why the police were there. I know in the story also, you know, Mario said it a number of times, that's Christian's father. You know, they've got a pretty simple, quiet family life. So having six or however many officers it was, I don't recall, but I think it was about six officers, a half dozen, that came to the door and you know, showed up with a police warrant to or search warrant rather to search the home for devices that may have been linked to the uploading of a child pornography video. I know for them it was obviously a big surprise for them, you know, to have six officers just show up at your door, you know, on a Wednesday morning during the week, right?
And they had no inkling that anything was happening ahead of time, obviously.
No, they had no idea that was going to be happening that day.
They were told right away that the investigation involved a Snapchat account linked to Christian and an old email address, which was used by all the family members, but hadn't been used in a long time. What did police say they found? What were they looking for in the home, too?
Well, the way that it works is that if a video is uploaded to Snapchat and it's deemed to have some illicit content, Snapchat will report that to a law enforcement agency or an oversight agency. In this case, it's an agency in the States. They contact their counterparts, which is an RCMP unit. And then, of course, that's forwarded along to the Woodstock police. So basically, a video connected or associated with Christian's, I guess you'd call it handle or his Snapchat account, and the IP address were connected to the uploading of that video. So that's why the police were there. So essentially, they were there to search the home for anything that was connected to the uploading of this particular video.
Now, this Snapchat account was not one that Christian was even using at the time, right? This was an old account.
That's correct. Yeah, he was actually locked out of the account that the alleged child pornography was uploaded to. So it was actually on an old phone, and it wasn't even the phone he was using. He was no longer using that account because he had started up a new one because he had been locked out of that account by Snapchat at the time that the video was uploaded.
Okay, so the family knew and Christian knew right away that he was innocent. He didn't do this, but they were very compliant with police when they came into the home, right?
Yeah. Christian wasn't there at the time, actually. He was at work. So, you know, the family, I guess it would have been Christian's mother, father, and then his grandmother and sister. They were there. But they had to go and meet Christian at his workplace. And that's where Christian learned about, I guess, the charges that were leveled against him that right. He'd be facing. Right?
And the investigation, right.
The investigation. That's probably the better way to put it.
Sure. Yeah. So his Snapchat that they found these child porn videos on was compromised a few months earlier. He was locked out of it, but his Instagram account was also compromised. Is that right?
Yeah. So he had two, I guess in the forensic or digital forensic examiner's report, it indicated that it was likely that the IP address connected to the Spinas was compromised beforehand. And yes, he did note that he had two social media accounts that had been accessed by, a third party or another party, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Sure. Okay. So then the police raided the home. What happens next? They take all the devices from all the family members. So they really searched through everything and they combed through all of their devices.
Well, I know that a number of devices were taken from the home. I don't want to speculate and say every single device was taken, but they did take a number of devices from the home and back to headquarters. And I know that they did release some of them, I believe, later that day or not too long, but they did hold on to some more devices, of course, right?
Okay. So a civilian employee with Woodstock Police was in charge of going through this old phone, which was a rose gold iPhone that nobody was using anymore. And what did he find?
Well, when he went through it, he found some thumbnails that that apparently were associated with the uploaded video on the device, basically.
Right. Okay. What are thumbnails versus, you know, because I know that you snap photos to other people, but what are thumbnails within Snapchat? Is that's different, obviously.
Yeah, so thumbnails are digital images of the video that's left behind on the device. Okay. Essentially, yeah.
Okay. And they were hidden in a way that, like, most people wouldn't be able to find them, right?
Yeah, from what I read, they were located in such a way, or stored in the device, or, you know, they were located using expert software. Okay. So a couple digital forensic investigators thought it would have been hard for somebody without having expert software to actually go in and access those, or basically find those thumbnails because of where they were stored in the phone. They were kind of in a deep, deep spot in the phone. I'm sorry. I don't have, you know,
it's all very technical. I mean, you need a digital forensics expert, which the family did eventually hire. And we'll get to that in a little bit to essentially diagnose all of this stuff because it is so technical. So they find these thumbnails on the old phone, and then Christian is arrested, right? He's going to be turned in. His family turns him into Woodstock Police.
Yeah, the police reached out, and my understanding is they actually called to say, you know, are we going to get these devices back? It wasn't, you know, quite that simple. And yeah, so they let him know, you know, you are going to face charges, three charges related to child pornography. And the next day, Christian's parents drove him to the police station and, you know, he turned himself in.
What was it like? Because I know you were speaking with a family, to leave your 18-year-old son and turn him in for, you know, something that, you know, he didn't do, and to leave him there because he was booked. He had to stay in a cell, right? What was it like for them?
Well, as Mario described, they said that they were in absolute shock. It's something that you're not prepared for. And being a parent, I can't imagine. As they relayed to me, they said it was just an absolutely horrible experience. And, you know, as Andrea, Christian's mother, said, it was heartbreaking to watch his son go into a police station and face these charges. I mean, you know, he's a very young adult, and it's a very stark and real situation to be mm-hmm. faced with these, you know, face with those charges.
And can follow you around for the rest of your life, you know. Not only that, but then because he was charged, his name was released in a press release. So the public knew that he had been charged with these offenses.
Well, and that's something that was very difficult for them as well. And when I spoke to Mario said, you know, these are serious charges. So his concern was that the public was going to think, well, the police must have something pretty obvious on them if they're naming him and he's facing these charges. So that second court of public opinion, you know, it's a tough one to face, they said. And of course, with charges like that, you know, you obviously don't want your name attached to them. So that was definitely something that that they were very unsettled about.
Did he lose a lot of relationships? How did it affect his personal life?
They're a very supportive family, and he had a lot of people in his corner. So he made it. He made it through. But but you know, it's not an easy thing to face. I mean, those are serious allegations that Christian was facing.
Absolutely. So, of course, after he's charged and is booked and arrested, the family went and hired a lawyer. Obviously, they also hired a digital forensics expert, as we mentioned. But I mean, this cost them thousands and thousands of dollars for all of this defense. How did they handle that?
Well, they owned a rental property that they ended up having to sell. I mean, that was supposed to be for their retirement. And unfortunately, due to the circumstances, they had no choice but to sell that home. And as Mario said, the only thing that's really going to help is having liquid cash. And good defense is not cheap. It is not cheap to hire a seasoned defense lawyer. So, but there was nothing that Mario and Andrea would forego to ensure that Christian had the best defense in his corner as possible to fight the charges.
Of course. Okay, let's get into the forensics examiner, the digital forensics examiner. He went over all of the details in this case. And in doing that, I mean, he's working for the family, but he poked a lot of holes in this case. What were some of the things that he was finding as he was doing his investigation.
Well, so Jason Conley was his name, and basically he found that the subpoenas, you know, had a compromised IP address. He found, obviously, that a couple emails indicating that Christian's accounts had been hacked. But then he found other things, such as, you know, there was no searches. Generally speaking, he said, or what he called a red flag was that, generally speaking, people that are downloading these types of videos, these illicit videos, there's usually searches involved. So that's a huge component. They didn't find anything, any searches that indicated that Christian had ever searched for child pornography before. Obviously, there was the hacking, but then he also found that it's called content synchronization is what he referred to it as in report. So if you have one phone that's got Snapchat and then you've got another phone with that has Snapchat, you know, the same accounts. Say someone hacks into your account, it's possible that some of that content will actually upload to the other phone without that person's knowledge in some cases. So that was something that supported Christian's assertions that, you know, my account was hacked. So Conley started finding these inconsistencies to say that, well, hey, maybe we should be looking at this. Maybe we should be looking at that. And it appeared as though, you know, the Woodstock police didn't necessarily take that report seriously is what Mario believed, and is what Jason Connolly feared also. They both feared that his report wasn't looked at to show that it was possible that, you know, he wasn't in what Connolly called exclusive control of his device.
Sure. Yeah. Did the subpoenas feel like maybe Christian was guilty until proven innocent? Some people might have considered him guilty until proven innocent.
Well, you know, our justice system is innocent until proven guilty. But I know that at times when I spoke with them, they did feel as though we must prove that we're innocent. You know, that maybe that there was some tunnel vision and these thumbnails were found. So this must be your guy. And there was that belief that maybe we're not looking elsewhere when maybe we should. I know that that was one of the beliefs of the Spina family.
Of the Spinas. Okay. In this time, Christian actually had a health scare. Was it just after he was arrested? But he had a health scare and he ended up in the hospital for about a week. What happened there?
Yeah, I believe it was a few weeks after, and it just kind of added to the ordeal. You know, he had a seizure, and as Mario explained it, he said it was absolutely terrifying. So compounding the charges that he's facing, now he's got a health scare where, you know, he could have died. So, I mean, just what a horrible time for the family.
Yeah. Right. And as a child, he had actually survived childhood cancer, so that this was another major health thing for him in his life. Okay. So now let's talk about going to court about a year later after, you know, the police raided his home. They're in court. What was Christian facing in terms of a sentence if he was found guilty?
If I'm not mistaken, the minimum is, you know, 6 months to a year for the charges. But of course, you've got that sex offender designation, that designation attached to your name, which is obviously, I think, detrimental would be an understatement, you know, have that attached to your name. So the stakes were extremely high for Christian, obviously, you know, in that trial.
What did the judge find? How long was the trial, and what was the judge finding? Because the judge did review the digital forensics report. Is that right? Because the police, Woodstock police, were given it, given that report, and then the judge was given this report too, right?
Well, he was, but basically what the judge found was there was a voir dire, which is essentially a trial within a trial. So it might be used to test an expert's qualifications, which is, of course, what would happen in this case. And in the judge's analysis or ruling, he found that although the special constable working for the Woodstock police, although, you know, he had a solid foundation to build upon, he didn't think that he was qualified to actually analyze and interpret the data off the phone. Yes, he was able to extract the information, but in terms of, you know, further interpreting it and analyzing it, he found that the special constable required more training. So, you know, that was one aspect. And he also didn't have any experience extracting information from iOS devices, you know, iPhone devices or social media platforms. So he wasn't experienced. He didn't have, I guess, enough experience is kind of how it was deemed in those fields, is kind of my understanding of it. Right?
And specifically for Snapchat and on iOS, Apple devices.
Well, those two were named in the voir dire ruling, right? And
Yeah.
he did indicate, and the voir dire ruling did indicate to say that he candidly said, you know, I don't have a great deal of experience. I can't speculate on if there was any experience. I, of course, don't know that. But the judge did rule that more training was required to act as an expert witness in the case.
Okay. So the charges were actually, they were dropped against Christian. How did they come to that decision?
So basically, after the voir dire ruling by the judge, which he distributed in document form for the defense and the Crown to go over, essentially based on that ruling, the Crown implored the judge to, I guess, not follow through with the charges, and they ended up being dismissed.
Okay. Does that mean that Christian's name is cleared, or because I think they're still fighting to have his name completely cleared? Is that right?
One thing that they're pushing for is a kind of public acknowledgement that that Christian didn't do it. Basically, one thing that Mario said was they named him publicly saying he was being charged. Why don't they name him publicly saying, you know, the charges didn't go through?
It's retracted. Yeah. And I mean, that can follow you around just based on gossip and hearsay and public opinion, right? So now the Mario, the father, Christian's father, says that, you know, the whole justice system, he's kind of lost faith in the justice system, not in particular, you know, police officers. He says I think they're doing their jobs, but the whole system, he's lost a bit of faith in. So he's tried to do a few things. He hired a private firm to examine the Woodstock police investigation of his son. And what was the outcome of that? What happened there?
The report tended to agree with Jason Connolly's report for the defense. I shouldn't say tend. It did agree with a lot of his findings. That report that that Mario commissioned did find that there was some flaws in the investigation, and or some missteps, I guess, might be the better way to put it. And it just kind of further fueled Mario's desire to he doesn't want anybody facing to face what Christian had to face, essentially, is what sure. Mario's end goal. If somebody's innocent, he doesn't want them to have to go down, you know, the long, hard road of spending money, trauma, stress associated with going to trial, especially when he believed that it should have never have gotten that far.
Right.
That's one thing that Mario's really pushing for, is he believes that it should have never have gotten that far.
Mario was also going to speak to the Woodstock Police Services Board, which is, you know, a committee for the public, on behalf of the public. But he didn't end up speaking to them. Why not?
So from the get-go, Mario really wanted this to be public. He wanted a spotlight shown on his son's case. That's actually how we came to be into contact, is he reached out to the paper to cover that hearing. He wanted to speak to the board in a public format. And he believed that he wasn't going to get that chance to speak publicly. So he ended up declining to address the board inevitably. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is Mario fighting for now? Because, you know, while the charges have been dropped, Christian's name has been cleared, kind of, I guess. What's next for the Spina family? What is Mario's goal?
Well, for Christian, you know, Christian is just really trying to get on with his life. And last time I talked to him, you know, he's undertaking an electrician apprentice. I think he's pretty close to getting there. So for him, his life's carrying on. And I know that he's doing better. For Mario, Mario's goal, I mean, when he commissioned that second report, was to try to show the police board. His hope was that the police board would look at it and say, hey, maybe there's some adjustments that we may need to make as far as investigations are concerned. So for Mario, I mean, his push is really to try to make sure that somebody who might be innocent facing charges doesn't face them. And so whether that be, you know, contacting government agencies or bodies, I know that for him, the fight's not over. So to see where he's going to go next, I'm not exactly sure, but I know that he wants word out about what happened to his son, and he really hopes that it doesn't affect somebody who might be innocent of charges, right?
Right, absolutely. Have you talked to the Woodstock police? Have you gotten any statements from them or the Police Services Board about, you know, Mario approaching them about these other investigations that the Spina family has funded? What are they saying about any of this?
The police chief from Woodstock did release a statement. There's only so much that they can go into detail as far as investigations concerned. For the police board, basically, they've got rules for their delegations. So, you know, not having that spotlight, not having that public format that Mario wanted, I mean, that's one of the reasons that he didn't end up addressing them. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of a complicated situation.
It's such a complicated situation. And I encourage you to go to lfpress.com and read Brian's story, because it's a long one, but I think it's an important one. I think there's some maybe takeaways for any of us who have digital devices, maybe old digital devices lying around. In speaking with the digital forensics expert, does he have any tips for us to protect ourselves, maybe protect our kids who might have devices?
Well, one thing that he did note was, you know, two-factor authentication. That's a simple one that he brought up right away. I know that Christian indicated after he was locked out of his account, that's one of the first things that he did. And then I know that certain telecommunications providers will use static IP addresses. From my understanding in the readings, dynamic IP addresses are more secure than the static ones. So that could be another thing to look into.
Okay. All right. A bit of a cautionary tale, maybe for all of us. I don't know. Please check out Brian's story, lfpress.com, because there's so many more details that we weren't able to cover today for time. But thank you, Brian, for trying to sum it up for us as best we could. And we'll check out your story. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Rachel. Take care.